But how many of you are glad to be in the house of God? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's not just enough to be in the house of God. You also want to be a part of God's family. And so this morning we want to share with you the following message. A family chosen by God. A family chosen by God. And you'll be able to also listen to this message on our website at www.bhbcstl.org. Now, many of you had a chance to look over this message because I sent it out to the entire church as I was sending it out to our technical specialist. So I said to myself, you know, maybe God had a reason for things happening the way they do, other than the fact that I'm 50. And so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to challenge you to make this sermon a part of your life. I want you to get into this sermon. I want you to study it. I want you to look at the text and the verses. And this is what I want to do right now. It's the first time I've ever done it in my 30 years of preaching. As you go through all the reference verses that you're going to see this morning in the Word of God, pick the one that speaks to your heart. I will preach it when I get back. Pick the text that speaks to your heart. You email me and say, Pastor, Lord spoke to my heart. I'll preach that verse. I'll preach that verse. How's that? Amen. And young people, I'm expecting to hear from you all as well. Amen? Amen? So when we go through these verses, you find a verse and say, man, that verse really speaks to me. Listen, this Bible has been speaking to me for 35 years. I feel you. This Bible has been speaking to me for 35 years, technically 36. When this Bible started talking to me, we wore stomach shirts and platform shoes and bell-bottom pants, and we wore afros, and all kinds of crazy stuff was going on. Loud colors, and East St. Louis was a bustling nightlife center and all this other stuff. Amen. You say, Pastor, how you know? Don't worry how I know. Trust me on this one. But you pick the text, and we will preach from that text. Is that all right? That way I know that you're not just listening to the sermon on Sunday, going home and forgetting what I preached about. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Let's get started. A family chosen by God. Who are the members of God's family? Because it is an exclusive club. You need to know that. Not everybody's a member of God's family. What are the characteristics of that family? Why did God choose us to be in his family? And how does one become a part of God's family? Well, let's talk about who the members are. I thank God that the membership has already been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter 3:26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you want to become a part of the Warson Country Club, the entrance fee is $50,000. That's the initiation fee. And you must be sponsored. That's the Warson Country Club. Belle Reve is not too much off of that if you want to be a part of some of the prestigious clubs here in our community. But to be a part of God's family, the membership dues have already been paid. It's already been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. All you have to do is have faith in the finished, atoning, redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Receive him in your heart as Lord. Repent of your sins. Invite him to be Savior. And it's done. You're in. And listen to me. It doesn't matter what skin color you are, and it doesn't matter what you've done. You can be a part of God's family. That's what it means to be a member. But there are those who think they're members and they're not. I want to talk about them too. Because they go to church, does that make me a member? I'm a member of Blessed Hope Bible Church. Yes, that's wonderful, but that doesn't make you a member of God's family. I've been baptized in the name of Jesus. That doesn't make you a member of God's family. Well, I did this and I did that. That doesn't make you a member of God's family. You got to have faith in order to be a member of God's family. And you must have faith in what Christ did. Not what you've done. It's not about what you've done. I went down in Jesus' name. I went down in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's not about what you done did. It's about what Christ has already done. You say, well, Pastor, I just know that in order to be saved, you got to go through this, you got to go through that. Let me give you an example in Luke chapter 23, the thief on the cross. He wasn't baptized. He didn't speak in tongues. He didn't go through all of these rites and rituals and things of that nature. He didn't tarry for nothing. He was on the cross. Said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, don't forget about me. Jesus said, check this out. He saved him from the cross. Today, you'll be a member in God's family. You'll be with me. Is that all right? You'll be with me. That man got saved right from the cross. As Jesus was shedding his blood, he applied that blood to that thief's sin. Wasn't no speaking in tongues. Wasn't no water to baptize that poor fella. I'm sure that he would have rather been baptized than being crucified, but he didn't have that option. But he was just as much saved as anybody is saved today. Because salvation is only by faith in Christ Jesus and nothing else. All of those other things are what we call peripheral issues. They're secondary. They have nothing to do with bringing you into the family of God. They will not make you a member of God's family. In fact, trusting on them too much might cause you to miss the real essential of what it takes to know God, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. Not faith in some denomination. Not faith in some method that you have been taught by your grandmother who's been in church all her life, but faith in Christ Jesus. That's what it is to be a member of God's family. What are the characteristics of that family? Look at 1 Peter 2 and 9 from the New King James Version. It says, but you, talking about those of us in the family, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Number one, you're a chosen generation. You are a chosen generation. You did not pick God. God picked you. Well, when I was back in sin and I found the Lord, the Lord found you. You didn't find the Lord. The Lord found you. You didn't pick him. He picked you. You didn't vote for him. He chose and he elected you. Well, I had something to do with it. You had nothing to do with it. You were a sinner, born in sin, on your way to hell. Jesus did it all. That's why the hymn reminds us. Jesus paid what? Paid it all. And all to him we owe. We didn't do anything. We have been chosen by God. Look at Romans 8, 15 and 7 through 17. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You don't have to worry about going to hell. How many of you worried about dying and going to hell? If you are, you need to be saved. It's that simple. That's all it is. You have not received that spirit that binds us with anxiety and stress over the future and over where we will spend eternity. But you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out, Lord, we love you, our dear Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Listen, if the Holy Spirit has not spoken to your heart, letting you know you're in the family, there's a chance that you're not. There's a chance that you're not in the family. The Spirit himself lets you know. You don't need a Bible to tell you you're saved. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are in Christ. You don't need a single text in Scripture to know that you're saved. The Spirit himself bears witness that you're in the family of God. And can't nobody change that. It's irrevocable. That we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Hallelujah. You might not get nothing left by your Uncle Willie, but you're going to get something in terms of God. You're the heir of eternal life. Well, what did Willie dead? What did he leave me? He ain't left you nothing. But let me tell you, you're an heir with God. Joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. And listen to me. Listen carefully. Can't nobody take your part. You ain't got a jockey for position hoping you could get in the good graces of God so you can get more from God than I'm going to get. We're joint heirs with Christ. You're going to get yours. I'm going to get mine. We're going to get ours. We are heirs. And there's not going to be no fighting over the will because the testament has already been given. We are already receiving what God has in store for us. And it is eternal life with him. It don't get better than that. I know you might think it does when you look at the world, but honey, it's not going to get any better than that. Aren't you glad that you're joint heirs with Christ? Yes. Indeed, if we suffer with him, We'll be glorified together, and there's going to be some suffering for the saints. How many of you know what it's like to suffer for the Lord? It's not all chicken and waffles. Amen. Ice cream and cake. Hallelujah. I prefer the chicken and waffles. Amen. Stanley Pitchford introduced me to chicken and waffles right down the street from his house on McLaren. Took me to, Pastor, let's go to that little restaurant on the corner. Chicken and waffles. You got to watch out who you hang out with, because they can hook you on some crazy stuff. They can get you hooked on some crazy stuff. We're a chosen generation. What does that mean? Well, we are a people made up of Jews and non-Jews who possess a special relationship with God as his children. The relationship you have and the relationship some other faith group has is different. You and I have a different relationship with God than the rest of humanity. God acknowledges us as his children. And he treats us like we are his children. That is why you can't get away with what the other fellas' children get away with. And you're always saying things to yourself like, why can my friends get away with doing this and I can't? Because your daddy is different. You're among friends and there's 10 of them and they go out and do this and they get away with it and you don't. And you say, well, wait a minute. How is it that they seem to be able to get away with anything they want and I can't? That's because you're a part of a different family and your father is going to treat you like a father. He's going to set limits around you so that you don't destroy your life and corrupt yourself. Well, why don't he do that for my friends? Because he's not their daddy. He don't raise kids that don't belong to him. They ain't his kids. But you're his child and you're trying to act like somebody else's kid. And I want you to know the God we serve is a jealous God and he's a jealous father. And he's not going to let you get away with what the other kids get away with. And you're going to feel like you're being slighted. But you need to understand it's a different daddy, different rules. Well, why can't I be like so-and-so? You used to be like so-and-so until God saved you. Why would you want to be like them? Amen. And many of my young people, I know that they're partying up at Truman and Mizzou and at various colleges in Southeast and Southwest or Missouri State and Missouri State and Engineering and Technology. I know all of your friends are drinking and smoking and doing whatever they're big and bad enough to do. And as soon as you try to step out and dip your toe in sin, all of a sudden you get your foot crushed. And you're like, wait a minute. I was just going to hang out. I wasn't going to drink nothing. And my car, it didn't even start. Or I had an accident. Well, wait a minute. They've been partying all this time. And they go home. They come, go party. They come back. And here I had this mess. Just one little time. Your daddy stepped into that situation. Oh, no. See, you my kid. I ain't gonna let you act like everybody else's kid. You running around like a wild animal just because your friends are wild animals. I ain't raising them. I'm raising you. And I guarantee you step out of line, I'm going to treat you like a daddy is supposed to treat a child. And some of us have been whooped so much. Hallelujah. You got a special relationship. It don't feel special. Oh, yes, it is. That's because you messing up. But it's special. Trust me, it's special. Man, it sounds like God only wants to whoop me. That's because you are just being stubborn. But if you come under the obedience of the word and the spirit, you'll enjoy this Christianity. But if you want to be a knucklehead, God's got all the time to spank you in line. Yes, he will. I mean, he issues out pink slips. He'll send you to the hospital for a minute. He's got all kinds of things that he does to his kids that he doesn't do to everybody else's kids. And that's because you have a special relationship. We have been placed into the family of God by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And again, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And you shouldn't take that lightly. You shouldn't just say, yeah, well, I'm not much different than the Muslim or the Buddhist or the Jew. You're so different. It's not the same, folk. And let me be very careful. You know that our policy here at this church is not to vilify other faiths in order to make our faith look good. I don't need to talk about Allah to make Jesus look good. He looks good by himself. He got up from the grave. I mean, you can't get better than that. I don't need to talk about all these other so-called deities and pagan religions in order to make or elevate my own faith. Jesus looks good on paper, and he looks good in my life. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Glory to God. We're chosen race of people. And there's all kind of crazy folk in this family. Just because they're saved doesn't mean they're easy to get along with. Can I just preach a few more moments? Because I want to go to priesthood, but I got to talk about some stuff for a minute. God's got all kinds of kids. He got all kinds of kids, and some of these kids get on your nerves. And they're just as saved and fit for heaven as you are, whether you don't believe it or not. You say, well, Lord, well, Pastor, name some names. Well, do you really want me to do that? Just like you've got folk who get on your nerves in your physical family, there are people who will get on your nerves in God's family. But here's why you need to understand something. Just like you can't get rid of that no good, conniving brother or sister or cousin or auntie or uncle who's lying behind your back, who only comes to the reunion to eat and go home, you can't get rid of them. You can't get rid of that other person either. So you can't be running from church to church going, I'm looking for the perfect family where they act like Christians. Honey, you'll never find that church. You'll never find that church where everybody loves everybody and Jesus is Lord of everybody. You're going to have Christians with baggage. You're going to have Christians with issues. You're going to have Christians that don't know how to talk and treat each other right. You're going to have Christians that don't have home training. Yes, you will. You're going to have all kinds of Christians and they're coming on up in the church. They'll come to our chili cook-off on March 26th, and they won't clean up nothing. And they'll go through that line three times to get all kinds of chili. We got 15 different kinds of chili, and they done went through that line. And then when it's time to go home, they will sit and watch all the other folk grab the trash and clean out the bowls. And we're getting the church ready for worship, and they got to go. I mean, they done cleaned out a whole crock pot of chili by they lonesome. But now it's time. And you got, they're Christians, though. They're saved. You don't want to say, that's the devil. I rebuke you. Ain't no devil. I'm trying to find an adjective. But don't call them a devil because you're talking about a child of God. But there's something else. You know what I mean. You know, find your own adjective to describe them. You know, I like to just stay with they ain't right. That's my adjective. They ain't right. God have mercy on them. And they're in the family. But you, I just want to say this, especially to our visitors. If you're looking for a church where everybody's right, you are under Satan's control. Because he knows there is no such place. But if he can keep you hopping, he can keep you unstable. And if he can keep you unstable, he can keep you vulnerable. And if he can keep you vulnerable, he can take you under. And TV church has its place. If I'm in the hospital, if I'm in a senior citizens facility, and it's 9:30 and I'm turning on the TV, it has its place. But there's nothing like getting up, putting on something to wear, grabbing your Bible, getting in your vehicle, or walking to your church and being around people and getting a hug that's actually real instead of a TV hug. A real hug by real people who really care. Ain't no TV gonna replace that. Sending your tithes to TV and all that. Ain't no TV gonna replace that. Amen. And isn't it funny? There's also those kind of children that they're never around till they need something. You know, I won't get a call, a donation to this church. And ain't nothing wrong with giving to the church. Quit acting like it's a sin to give. You live here, you give here. Amen. And they end up in the hospital or they end up in a situation in jail. Hey, pastor. And you know what? They're his children too. They're his children. So you know what I got to do? I got to go. I don't say, and where have you been? That's none of my business. That's they daddy. I put that your daddy, he'll handle that. But if they call on you and you ain't seen them in a month of Sundays, don't you judge them. That's your brother and sister. Yeah, but he ain't right. That's and you are. You handle it. Yeah, but they just using us. We reap what we sow. Don't get caught up into whether or not, you know, I had a pastor, I was on the plane from one of my mission trips in Mexico, and the pastor told me, I won't even counsel a couple until they come to my church at least two Sundays, and then I charge them. And I said, this is crazy. You mean somebody wants to save their marriage, and they're coming to you, and then they got to go through all these hoops? They might get divorced before those 2 weeks are up. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, folks. It doesn't matter. These are God's children. We don't like them because they don't go to our church. They don't look like us. They don't sing like us. They don't act like us. And then when they're in need, they come to us on Wednesday nights, on third Wednesdays. And you better feed them. You better feed them. Because they belong to somebody. Somebody who loves them as much as he loves you. Royal priesthood. Romans 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We've got a lot of verses we're going through. Look at the underline. We have access by faith. That's what makes you different than everybody else, than every other faith or non-faith institution on the planet. We have access. Sinners don't have access. Wait a minute, but what about when they call on God? But they don't have the same level of access. Yes, God will save a sinner if they cry out. We know that. But we're talking about on a day-to-day basis where God walks with you. Living in your house, helping you pay bills you ain't got money to pay. You got access. Sinners ain't got that, y'all. That's why your friends at college can act a fool and it's as if they don't get in trouble and you're saying, whoa, what's going on here? It seems like God is being real with them. You got to understand, God ain't touching them because they ain't his kids, but he's touching you. But when the day comes when you need some access, then you'll know you got something special that your buddies ain't got. Yes, You've got access. And that access can save your life. It can keep you from losing your mind. When you can call on God and he must answer because you are his child, he cannot turn you away. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is here with you always to the end of the age. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He will always hear you when you call. Before you call, he will answer. And no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You have access. That's why no carnal weapon formed against you will prosper. That's why when the enemy comes against you as a flood, the Lord will raise up a banner. That's why we have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 7, when we don't feel like living right and he makes us right. Got some access. That's what it means to be a priest. The priest had access to God. You went to the priest, you delivered your sacrifice. The priest killed the sacrifice in your presence and in the presence of the Lord. The Lord honored that sacrifice and he honored the role of that priest. Guess what? You're a priest. You're a priest. You're a priest. You're a priest. No, I ain't got no collar. No, no, no. You got blood. Read Hebrews chapter 7. To go into the Holy of Holies, you can't enter without blood. The blood is on you. Every time you say, Lord, I thank you, you've got blood on you, you enter into the Holy of Holies. You bypass the outer court and the inner court and the incense and the altar and the brazen altar and the lavers and the golden lampstand. You go past all of that into this tent. You go straight to the mercy seat. Every time you call on God, you in the presence of God. Right there. Well, Aaron had this. That's because there had to be elaborate and meticulous so that God could show the people that there was a difference between Aaron and the people. I'm going to get into that in the next slide. But you need to understand here, as a priest of God, that's why you can't do what the sinner does. You have been sprinkled and anointed by God. You young ladies and your friends going around being promiscuous. I know this is probably a little bit adult of a conversation, but they seem to be getting away with it. Don't you try this. Your father, he ain't playing because you have been sprinkled. You have an anointing they don't have. You expect them to act a fool. I expect kids that don't know Christ to act a fool. But the children of God, don't try to be like them. It won't work. Next slide. As a royal priesthood, the church is the only race of people given access. But we don't take it and make the most of it. But how many of you know that his grace is able? It's still available. Hallelujah. A holy nation. We're a holy nation. A holy nation. Hallelujah. I'll take any amen I can get. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Let me read that part again. For all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. When Peter is speaking of a holy nation, that's what he's referencing. He's referencing that. Well, what does that mean to be a holy nation? We're set apart by God for God. The Christian does not act like the sinner. The sinner lies, the Christian does not. Let me say it again. The sinner lies and cheats and steals. The Christian doesn't. Well, that's because we're broken. That's all it means. It's we're broke. I know I should be holy, but I'm not acting holy because you haven't rise up yet. And that's okay because the God we serve knows we're all works in progress. Sinners do all kinds of stuff and enjoy it. Christians try to do it and they're miserable. You know why? You've been set apart. Man, I saw this commercial about this casino. I'm going to go there and you're going to come home miserable. If not broke and both. Now you're broke and miserable. Sinners, they're having just as much fun. And that's really not necessarily true. But the fact of the matter is they're doing what they're big and bad enough to do. And you say, well, if sin is not fun, why do I do it? Because we're weak. We're weak in our flesh. Our flesh still wants to pull us back to a life that we have left behind. You say, well, what do I do with that? Does that mean God doesn't love me? He's not on my side. It means everything opposite of that. In fact, the fact that you hate sin means that you love God. Amen. The fact that you come to church on Sunday says God means something to you. Amen. You say, but Pastor, if you saw the mess of my life, listen to me. You're in the house of God. That means something. God, listen, don't take being in church so lightly that you just went to church today. Listen, you came here because God means something. And he's got a plan for you. Holy nation, set apart by God. What else does it mean? Our worship is to God. Our values are from God. Let me say that again. Our values are from God. They're not from Republicans. They're not from Democrats. They're not from liberals. They're not from conservatives. They're not from sinners. They're not from celebrities and sports figures. They're not from political figures. They're not from pundits on the radio or on television. They're from the Word of God. I'm not a Republican, conservative, family values, because you see the hypocrisy of that group. If I'm in Appalachia, that's exactly where I am. I'm not in Argentina. I'm going to leave it right there. I'm a Christian by the grace of God. My values do not come from no other place than the Bible. So what I stand for is what the Bible stands for. Amen. What I believe in is what the Bible teaches. Does it mean I hate everybody else? No. Does it mean I try to impose my values on everybody else? No. A sinner can't live what I'm trying to live. I'm trying to work it out. Why would I impose that on a sinner? But I know this. I'd rather have my values than the values of this world. The values of this world, they lead to death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Seems right, looks right, certainly feels right. Ain't right. And for some of us, we don't learn that until years. We have to look back and go, oops, what was I thinking? Trust God's values. God says, wait till marriage. Wait. Amen. Yeah, but my friends, okay. They'll be the first ones to call you a no good something when you go their route. God says, love your wife. Love her. Amen. Love your husband. Love him. Amen. And nobody else. Nobody else. These are values, but they're not Jeff's values that I try to impose on you because I'm so holy and you're not. No, no. We're all a mess. You say, you a mess, Pastor? I'm a big mess. And so are you. But we're trying to climb that old Jacob's ladder, as the old saints call it, trying to get closer and closer to God. Because we know that we're supposed to be living for him. How many of you know you're supposed to be living right? How many of you know it? Ain't nobody got to tell you nothing. You ain't got to go to nobody's Sunday school. You know you can be doing better than what you're doing. Hallelujah. Values from God. Joy is in God. Not in money. Not in money. Not in celebrity. Not in fame. Our peace is through God. Peace of mind. And our life is with God. Colossians 3. Dear brother Harry Nathan did an awesome job of our life being hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3. We're his own special people. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You belong to him. Let me say it again. If you're in his family, he purchased you. And some of us don't like the idea of being purchased, but you're owned by somebody. See, this idea, I just want to go on my own. I don't want no devil. I don't want no God. My friend, you don't have that option. You don't have the option to say, well, you know what? I don't want God to purchase me. I'm just fine the way I am. Well, you belong to somebody. You are the child of somebody. You're either the child of the devil or you're the child of God. But you're not your own man. You didn't get here by yourself. God brought you in here through the reproductive process like everybody else. You got here. You got flesh and blood like everybody else. You don't get to call the shots and you're just going to be around for less than 100 years and you go call the shots on eternity and on the two greatest beings that ever existed, the devil and God, and say, I don't need none of y'all. You don't have the right to pray that prayer because the moment you were conceived, you were purchased by one of them. And it was the devil, and God bought you back through the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, I was able to do this and do that. That's because your daddy let you. Man, my finances ever since I came to church are rough. That's because God is using your finances to discipline you and bring you to obedience. Yeah, but I was doing better when I was a sinner. Your daddy, your other daddy, of course you was. You was doing good. There's a celebrity out there this past week or two who done lost his mind. Making $2 million a show. Show worth hundreds of millions of dollars. He getting two and want a raise. And he's parading all of his promiscuity and his lifestyle all out in the society. And as a Christian, I'm trying to pay my house note, trying to put food on the table. I'm trying to keep up and do the things I got to do. Done had to take care of that tax thing. Amen. You know, trying to do what I got to do. And he's up here a fool making $2 million for 30 minutes of work. You know what? His daddy. We got two different daddies. We got two different daddies. You don't look at the sinner and envy them. Be thou not envious of sinners, but place your faith in the Lord. Don't you envy sinners. Man, the sinners all live in large. That's because their daddy owns the world. That's why God's going to make a new one. A new heaven. A new earth. God don't want this world. The Satan can have it. And Satan owns it. Jesus calls him the God of this world. That's why Satan can say to Jesus, you bow to me, you can have whatever you want. Because I got the authority. Give it to you. That's why God getting rid of this planet. He's going to make him a new one with some new folk to live in, and I'm going to be one of them. His own special people. God purchased us with the blood of Christ. The idea of a purchase speaks of God doing what was necessary to claim us for himself. It's not like we were for sale and God said, ooh, let me buy that sinner in the window. Look at that crackhead over there in the crackhead department. I'm going to go shopping. I'm going to buy me a crack. Look at that gambling addict. I'm going to go over to the gambling addict. I'm going to buy this gambler. That's not redemption. It's about title and right and claim. I have title to you. That was a good one, wasn't it? Yeah. Laughter is like a medicine. Yes, it is. And it's okay to laugh, especially when I'm telling the jokes. I insist that you do. We're his own special people. And because we belong to God, we're no longer living by our own rules, but by his word. I don't live by the conservative or liberal bent. As that great pastor of Oak Cliff Bible College, Tony Evans, puts it, I'm neither Republican or Democrat, I'm Christian. That's what I am. And that's, by the grace of God, is going to be my life choice. Well, why did God choose us to be in his family? In 1 Peter, the second part of verse 9, it says that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you, chose you, selected you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And how do we proclaim his praises? By the way we live. You praise God by your lifestyle. When you overcome temptation, and temptation will come, you're praising God. No. That's not praising him. Yes, that's giving God praise. You're praising his word when you obey it. Yeah, but I thought that's what we do in church. It's what you do in the decisions and choices you make. We praise him by the way we live. We praise him by the way we worship. And we praise him by the way we serve others. And there are other ways in which I'm sure praise and worship of God can be given. But the reason why he chose you and the reason why he chose me so that we could share with the world that there is a God who is real, who is calling people out of darkness into his marvelous light. Look at the way I'm living. Can't you see there's a God? Look at the way I'm shouting. Can't you see there's a God? Look at the way I'm serving others. Can't you see that there is a God? There's a God! Can't you see? By looking at my lifestyle, when you want to go drinking and I want to go to church, that's because I'm showing forth his praises. When the world goes this way and you go that way, that's called praising God. Wednesday night Bible study, you tired as you can be, you don't feel like going to church, you done had a bad day at work and you coming barely on into church instead of at home watching your favorite TV program, you praising God. Through your commitment to your church and to your personal spiritual growth, you praise him. So that leaves us with this question. How do we become a member of God's family? What do I have to do, Pastor, to be a member of this family of God? Because you know, let's make sure we understand each other. You're a member of somebody's family. And if you're not a member of God's family, guess what? You're a member of somebody else's. Well, just believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. I want everyone in here to stand right now. Come on, Pastor Tony. Everyone to stand. Everyone in the building. Children, everybody. If you got to stretch like this, oh, I'm so glad that sermon's over. Go right ahead. Give him one of them stretches. Oh, he's done. Hallelujah. Get that stretch out. You feel all right? Amen. I want you to relax. Do your shoulders like this. Just relax. Amen. Do your shoulders like this. Relax. Relax. Amen. You feel better? Get the blood circulating. Because I want to make sure as much blood is flowing to your brain as possible. Why? Because I'm about to ask you to make a big decision. How many of you know that you're a Christian? Amen. And you know you are a member of God's family? Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what? I believe you. If you are unsure, if you're unsure that you are a member of God's family, I want you to do something for me and for you. I'm about to say something, and I don't want you to make a move. I want you to stay on your feet. If you're uncertain in any way that you're going to heaven or that you know God or that you're in his family, whatever I'm about to say, you stand up and you keep standing. And I'm going to pray for you. If you are a Christian and there's no doubt in your mind, I want you to sit down right now. If you're not, stand. Stay on your feet. Stay on your feet. There's nothing to be ashamed of because I'm standing with you right now.
Amen.
And I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Bow your heads, everyone in the room. Remain standing, my friends. I'm just going to pray for you. It takes courage. Bow your heads right now. Bow your heads, everyone in the room. Don't look around. Don't look up. Don't look down. Just pray. When I was in this opportunity and place to be given, come here, Pastor Roland. I grew up with this young man right here. We ran the streets together. We enjoyed each other's company. But when God was ready, He called us both. Now we serve together.
Amen.
Listen to me, those of you who are standing. And I believe there's a couple of others who still need to be standing, but that's okay. We're going to let you take your seat. There's some others who need to stand. I'm going to give you a chance to do it right now and stand up. And I'm going to pray for you. What we're going to do is pray for you because we love you. Not because to shame you or do anything. You need to understand what's happening here. God cares about you. And He wants to be real in your life. I'm going to pray a prayer, a simple prayer. And if you want to ask Jesus into your life, you repeat this prayer after me, and you will be saved. And to those of you who are sitting who need a Savior, you can pray it too. Repeat after me, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Right now, I'm asking you, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me, save me, help me to be real and to be true. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead just for me. And right now, I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them praise, everybody. You may be seated.